It's good to see all of you here this morning. At this time, we will have the lighting of the Advent candles. Miss Kathy Cole will be lighting for us.
I think Joel is over the dinner. She's not got covered here yet.
Well, that's all right. Well,
this is the third Sunday in Advent. Today we light two purple candles and one pink candle. The first Sunday, we lit the candle of hope. On the second Sunday, we lit the candle of love. Here she is. We'll let her come on up here. The second Sunday, we lit the candle of love. Today, we light the candle of joy. One thing that sometimes happens as we get ready to celebrate Jesus' birth is we expect to be happy at all times. Joy is not the same as happy. Joy is deeper, a deeper feeling created by knowing that God cares for us. Joy is remembering that God sent Jesus so we will always know of God's care. Advent, we pray. During Advent, we pray that we may remember again God's gift of Jesus to the world and know the joy that gift brings to all people.
We don't have
two purple ones that we're going to light the
third one. Okay. When we look at the third candle, we remember God's promise of joy, God's promise to send a Savior to the people. Today we read from the Gospel of John in the scripture. We read that John was sent by God not to be the light, but to testify to the light. This reminds us that Jesus brings light into the world. And when there is light, there's joy and peace and assurance. When the world seems dark, scary, and frightening, we are reminded that Jesus brings light, and that brings joy. John 1, 6 through 8, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe that through him, he himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light.
Please join us together in our congregational prayer found in your bulletin. Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the joy remembering Jesus' birth brings to us today. Help us live in such a way that our words and our actions help others know of the joy you give. Amen. As you're able to, please stand as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, number 881, if you're following along in the hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Never shall be world without.
Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. Last Sunday, I mentioned to you the family that's related to Beth Snipes, her nephew and his girlfriend, and they had to have an emergency C-section. They were expecting twins, and they had to have an emergency C-section, and one of the twins passed away, but the other twin is still here. She's still fighting. She's very small. She's extremely premature, but she is developing, as with all premature babies. She has good days, she has bad days, but overall she's doing well. She's gaining weight, and she's gaining color, and she's trying to cry, which is a good sign. And she what?
I have to take her yesterday. She did not have a good day yesterday. She has an infection.
That's right. Yeah, they did have to stop feeding her, like Terry says, because she did have an infection that they're treating. So keep them in your prayers as they deal, of course, with the loss of one child, as well as with the concern of the fear of losing another child and the worry as she grows and develops. The family is in as good a spirits as they can be, but I know they would appreciate your prayers very much. Other than that, I can't think of anything. Does anyone else have any? Yes, sir. Ooh. Yeah. Okay. So we'll keep Keith's mother-in-law and father-in-law in our prayers. His father-in-law is in the hospital with the flu and pneumonia, and he's in quarantine. So keep them both in our prayers. And we'll pray for Morgan. Morgan hadn't been feeling well and has an infection, so we will keep Morgan in our prayers as well. Does anyone else have any? Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Chastity White.
Okay. All right. Does anyone else have any requests? Yes, Morgan.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Thank you for sharing. Yes, Morgan. Keep Barbara in our prayers for transition and such. Hold on just a second. Alan. We'll pray for strength for him. Okay. Okay. We'll keep in our prayers. Yes, Pat.
It's great that I can get hurting and take it something to care of.
We will.
Okay.
We will keep you in our prayers. Does anyone else have any requests they would like to share with us or praises? Amen. Oh, we have a prayer request over here. It's a shy prayer request. For her nanny? All right, we'll keep your nanny in our prayers. And let's also keep Clayton in our prayers as he finishes out the holiday season with all of his various performances and such. And today we'll try and mess up the least of all your performances. Yep. If no one else has any requests, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your Spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Today, Lord, we pray that you would be with all those on our prayer list, that you would be with all of the people who were mentioned today for healing, for restoration, for decisions, for comfort and strength. Lord, we praise you for good news. We praise you for so many things, God. You give us so many things, and we confess that sometimes we forget to thank you, and we either act like nothing happened, or we go on to the next thing to complain about. And so, Lord, as we ask that you be with everyone who is mentioned today, we also ask that you would remind us of just how blessed we are. We pray all these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If we could have our ushers come forth, at this time, we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded, as always, that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers, may you bless the receivers, may all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we will have the choir perform our Christmas cantata entitled Joy to the World. So please sit back, relax, enjoy, try and cool down from the warm air that's blowing through here. And we will give you a treat.
Hallelujah. Jesus has come. It's time for celebration. Yet in the midst of our songs of Christmas joy, we can't help asking one question. Why? Why would this king forsake the glory of heaven for a dirty, dark stable? Why would he turn his back on multitudes of angels bowing before him for a world that could not begin to fathom who he was?
What kind of king would leave his throne in heaven to make this earth his home? while men seek fame and great renown. In loneliness, our King comes down. Jesus, Jesus, precious one, how we thank you that you come. Jesus, Jesus, precious one.
The moment she accepted God's call on her life, a young girl named Mary became an unforgettable part of the Christmas story. For 9 months, she carried within her the hope of all mankind, and the night Jesus was born, she delivered the greatest gift of joy the world has ever known.
Watched their flocks by night and nearly fell asleep. Another quiet, lonely night of watching all those sheep, until a choir of heavenly angels pierced the night with songs of joy. Good news I bring, for Christ the King is Mary's baby boy.
Oh,
and Christ his only Son. This baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, the meek and lowly one. This baby boy can change the hearts of all who would believe. What the prophets told has come to pass, the virgin has conceived.
Mary and Joseph wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. The strips of cloth kept him warm and made him feel secure. They were also a symbol, a way faithful Jewish parents said, "We will teach this child to walk straight in God's word and his way." And so the word, our way to the Father, God's own son, set off on a journey that one day take him to a cross.
Thank you.
Each year we come to this familiar story with increasing wonder at God's great love in giving His Son. Every familiar Christmas carol reminds us that this is a story of joy, a joy we experience every time we sing about our Savior.
As you are able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 56. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, according to the promise He made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her cousin Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. Well, I have to preach from up here today because y'all are over there. That's all right. So this morning is the third Sunday in Advent. And as we've been going through, we know that we light different candles for each Sunday in Advent. Today, we lit a pink candle because the pink candle is the Mary candle. This is the day that we celebrate the Magnificat, as they call it, which is what we just read. And we celebrate Mary's faithfulness to God. It also is the Sunday of Hope. And as was said in our reading that Jewel and Kathy read for us, joy is not the same as happiness. See, happiness is a fleeting thing. Happiness is an emotion. It's a feeling. Happiness is easily taken away. Let me give you a great example that permeates with me and probably permeates with lots of you. When you're driving down the road and you got the radio on and a song comes on and you love that song, right? You're like, all right, this is my favorite song. I can't believe it. Larry's favorite is Santa Baby. When Santa Baby comes on, Larry likes to get down in the car. And you get happy and you're like, woohoo, Santa Baby's on. And then somebody cuts you off. And you slam on your brakes and everything that was sitting in your back seat that you hadn't cleaned out of your car, in the last 6 months comes sliding forward, hits the back of your car. And if you got your kids in the car, you're likely to say something that they will repeat. Now you're not very happy. You're mad. You're scared. You're frustrated, you're upset. Happiness is gone. But Larry carries the joy of Santa Baby with him. That's why whenever it comes on, he immediately responds in a positive way, right? Because he has joy. It gives him joy. Think about Mary today. Mary is our symbol of joy. Mary is here. This is an artist's depiction of Mary who has the halo over her head, and she's visiting her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is basically bowing before her. I like to think she's trying to listen for the baby, because people do stuff like that. Think about Mary. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. Mary was approximately 12 to 16 years old. Most likely she was about 15, 16, but she could have been as young as 12, getting ready to turn 13. She probably wasn't much older than 16. By the time you got to 18 in their culture, you were kind of an old maid and your parents had given up on you. So Mary was a young girl. She was, I guess our current understanding would be, she was engaged to a man that maybe she grew up with him. She probably wasn't in love with him. Her marriage was likely arranged years ago, maybe even before she was born. She's waiting for Joseph to build them a home so that they can move in to this home. And they can start trying to have children, because that's what women did. And Mary has a vision. An angel comes to Mary and says, Mary, good news. You're going to give birth to the Son of God. And Mary does what all human beings do with good news from God. She starts to argue about why that can't be. She says, listen, I don't know if God told you, but I'm a virgin. And last I checked, virgins can't get pregnant, right? Don't buy into the idea that some people do that our ancient ancestors and all were dumb and didn't know a whole lot. People have known how babies are made since people have been making babies. It doesn't take a genius to figure it out. So Mary knew virgins don't conceive. It doesn't happen. And the angel says, essentially, Mary, with God, all things are possible. God is going to form his son in your womb. There are all kinds of theological reasons why Mary had to be a virgin. those are discussions for another time. The point is that Mary's a virgin who gets pregnant. Now think about this. Think about if you have a daughter or granddaughter or a niece or a sister or mother, a woman in your life. She shows up to you and she says, I guess your mother wouldn't fit in this, but the rest of them would. She says, hey, I'm pregnant. I didn't even know you were dating, right? How'd you get pregnant? Who's the dad? Well, God's the dad. It's a miracle. It's a miracle baby, right? We're all going to believe that, right? We're going to call up all of our friends and family and, you know, everybody, say, hey, guess what? My daughter is pregnant, and God's the dad. Nobody believed it. To complicate matters, adultery was punishable by death, according to the Mosaic law, which means that Mary has a story that she got pregnant by somebody that wasn't Joseph. It's God. Here we go with some blasphemy, right? From the scribes and the Pharisees' point of view. Here's some blasphemy for us. No, it's not adultery. So Mary, in the eyes of the law, has committed two capital offenses, blasphemy and adultery. That's how the people would view it. Joseph is a good man, and he says, I don't want Mary to die. Maybe I can, you know, dismiss her by night or something like that. Tell people she disappeared, ran away, something like that. It takes an angel coming to Joseph to say, this is what Mary says it is. Mary goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth at the beginning of this pregnancy, and she stays 3 months. Now, I don't know how much experience you guys have with pregnant women, but let me tell you something. Most women, when they get to 3 months, you can tell that they're pregnant. They're either pregnant or they need to quit eating quite so much food, right? Some women have that like body that never looks pregnant, even after they've given birth. But most women, in the third month, morning sickness kicks in. They've got constant heartburn. The baby is starting to form. The baby's starting to move. And Mary comes back 3 months after going out of town, and here she is. What do you think the people think? She lives in a small town. We live in a small town. Imagine a town that's significantly smaller, maybe 100 or so people. You know everybody was in her business. The nice ones waited till she left to talk about her. The rest of them just talked about her, didn't care. She was shunned, and she knew all of these things. They had to go through her mind. On top of that, she has to raise the Son of God. Imagine the responsibility. Mary was terrified. Mary was worried. Mary did not feel adequate. Yet in the midst of it, Mary praised God. Because Mary understood what we see throughout Scripture. God is good. Even when nothing else is. Job lost his children. Job lost his wealth. The only thing Job had left, he even lost his health. The only thing Job had left was his life and his wife, who was telling him, just curse God and die, Job. And yet Job praised God. Jeremiah, probably the moodiest of all the prophets, came this close to blaspheming God. He was so frustrated and irritated with him. He told God that you are like a well that doesn't give water. You get people's hopes up only to have them dashed. And God told him, Jeremiah, you're getting close. Calm down. Yet still Jeremiah was faithful to God. Yet still Jeremiah praised God. Happiness is an emotion. Emotions are fine. Emotions are wonderful. God gave us emotions. He created us with emotions on the first day and called it good. Emotions are only bad when you misuse them. Anger is a good emotion when it motivates you to strive to cure cancer because you lost your beloved grandmother to cancer, right? Anger is a bad emotion whenever it causes you to shoot somebody because you got mad at them. Emotions by themselves are amoral. It's what you do with them. But emotions are fleeting. I told them this morning at Chevron, we have these sayings. They're these kind of pious sayings, right? Like that we use to make it look like we're holy and we got it all together and really we don't. Some of them are things like, we're too blessed to be depressed. Really? Are we too blessed to be depressed? Jesus looked pretty depressed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And if anyone was blessed, I think that God in the flesh would qualify. Christians should always be happy. Really? Was Jesus happy when he formed a whip out of cords and ran people out of the temple? I don't know how you express happiness, but I usually don't express it by whipping people. Just saying. Christians should never be sad. Really? We hear this one kind of at funerals, right? Funerals are where everybody gets really pious and it gets annoying. Let's be honest. It gets really annoying. When I was in seminary and we did pastoral care and counseling, one of the things that they told us over and over and over again is this. When you go to a funeral, be there and shut up. Because people will remember that you're there. They won't remember what you said unless you said something stupid. They may not show it to you. It happened to Job. Job's suffering, Job's friends show up, everything's great, then somebody opens their mouth and tries to solve Job's problem. And it causes chaos. You can be sad, you can mourn at a funeral. Jesus came to resurrect Lazarus, and he still wept. It's okay to be sad. But all of these things are emotions. They change. Joy is an inner gift from the Spirit of God, which is not easily taken. In fact, joy can only be given away. You can't steal joy. You know, you have people like, don't let Satan steal your joy. Satan can't steal your joy. Nobody can steal your joy. You give joy away. But when you know that though heaven and earth collapse, God is still good, you have joy. One of my favorite TV shows is a show called Firefly. Some of you know it, some of you don't. The theme song to it, I always like, there's a line in it, it says, burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me. Joss Whedon, who created it, is an atheist, but I don't know if he realizes just how Christian that line is. Because Scripture tells us this earth will be renewed with fire, not destroyed, renewed, but with fire. Burn the land, boil the sea, but God's own Son will come with the clouds of heaven from the sky, and you can't take that away. That joy can never be removed. It can only be given away. So, brothers and sisters, I urge you during this season of Advent, through Christmas, and all the way till next year, whatever happens out there, keep baby Jesus crucified Jesus, resurrected and ascended to power Jesus in your heart. And know that you have joy because he's coming back to set things right. And nothing can stop him. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to have joy. Help us not to think that to be Christian means to be a liar, to not be human, to not have emotions, to not experience the wide range of emotions that you give us. Help us, love, to remember that our joy comes from a risen Savior who over 2,000 years ago, Mary anticipated coming into the world. And in the midst of her fear, she praised you. May it be so with us as well. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand for our hymn, number 246, if you're following along in the hymnal, Joy to the World. Be seated. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, remember, Christ will be born soon. Christ will return again. May that joy never be given up by you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, spread his word. Be blessed and go in peace. You are dismissed.